That way, maybe you feel that way this morning. And I'm telling you, sometimes when you just think about what goes on in your life, it's real easy to just go, man, I just don't have a clue what God is up to. The last few weeks, we've been in a series called Ghost Adventures, and we've been talking about the person of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, and what He is actively doing in this world. And I want to make it very clear this morning that as we kind of finishing up this series, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, that I want you to understand some very basic things this morning. Some of these I've talked about a little bit throughout the last few weeks, but I want to, by way of reminder, just remind you what God is up to. If you've ever asked yourself that question, God, what are you doing? What are you doing specifically in my life? What are you doing in this world? I want to give you some very general things that I can tell you assuredly in Scripture that God is up to in this world and that He's up to in your life. And you'll see these as we go along. And I just want to spend a few minutes this morning in the Word of God. I want to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We kind of launched out on this in John's Gospel in chapter 14, 15, and 16 a few weeks ago, because there's a very comprehensive passage in which Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about who the Holy Spirit is, what He was coming to do, how that when Jesus was going back to the Father, He was going to be crucified, He was going to be killed, buried, put in a tomb, sealed, and on the third day He was going to rise again, and then a short time after that, He was going to go back to the Father. But He said, look, if I go back to the Father, let me assure you that there's going to be one coming after me, that I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, that the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you forever. That was a beautiful promise, that God's Spirit, through the person of Christ, would be with us forever, that we would not be left alone. And as we talk about this short passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and maybe you've got a little subtitle over the chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible this morning, the Scripture will be up here behind me. But if you don't have a Bible, you don't own one, we'll make sure you have one. You see us out there at guest services, that VIP tent this morning after the service, we will give you a Bible. But here's the deal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a little subtitle maybe in your Bible that says spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And Paul is essentially telling these believers, these Christians at this city of Corinth, which was a Roman colony city, a lot of Greek and Roman influences there. And Paul was speaking, wrote this letter to this church, and he was talking to them about some of the things that should take place in the church. And one of the things that he really hones in on is what the Holy Spirit is up to in the church. And I want to just read the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 12, and we're just going to dive right into this. It says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Stop right there for just a second. He said, I don't want you to be stupid about this. I want you to understand what's going on. I don't know about you, but sometimes you feel ignorant. Maybe when you walk into different churches, maybe you visited a few churches before and you've walked in, and maybe you wasn't familiar with the church, you didn't know anything about it, know about anything, their background, the way they do their service or anything that they do during their service, and maybe you just kind of felt a little uncomfortable and you wasn't sure what was going to take place. Well, you can just relax here at Genesis this morning. I can tell you, just relax. We're not going to do anything to embarrass you or anything like that. But here's the deal. Paul said, look, I don't want you to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant about what the Holy Spirit is up to. Verse 2, he says, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about what the Holy Spirit is doing for you. What the Holy Spirit is doing for you. Right now, at this moment, while you and I are in this building, let me reassure you what God's Spirit is doing for you. He is actively pursuing you. I can tell you that. He is actively pursuing you. Paul says, at one time you were pagans. And the word pagan just means someone that does not believe in the one true God. Someone who not necessarily just shows up at a temple where there's all these idols, although they did in this time period. But his picture here is someone who's not a part of the family of God. Someone who's not a part of the people of God. And he said, at one time you were pagans. One time you were away from God. He said, God is actively pursuing you. I want you to understand this morning that God is actively pursuing you, even though this morning you may be far from Him. Even though you may be far from Him. Let me tell you something. Assuredly this morning, God desires a personal relationship with you. One of intimacy, one of closeness, one like you would have with your closest, dearest friend. God desires that personal relationship with you. And guess what? He does all the pursuing. He does. God does all the pursuing. He is the one that comes after us, pursues us. You may be living, as Paul said, as a pagan, total opposition to God. In other words, you're being influenced and led astray to something that is opposite of God. But the Holy Spirit is following you, is pursuing you, is after you constantly. Do you feel paranoid yet? Maybe you feel paranoid. I'm a child of the 80s. I suddenly heard that Michael Jackson song. Someone's always watching. Somebody is watching me. I just revealed my age, didn't I? Here's the deal. God is actively pursuing you. You see, man in and of himself will never pursue after God. Man will never go after God. The Bible, Old and New Testament, talks about how we will never actively pursue God, but that God, let me tell you something, the story from Genesis to Revelation is that God is actively pursuing lost mankind. I'm grateful for that. I am so grateful that when I was apart from God, when I was away from God, when I didn't desire God or the things of God, God was still actively through His Holy Spirit, pursuing me right where I was. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I can't do anything to earn it. But it was God's Spirit. When you read the Bible, the pursuit that God has for lost mankind is described in different ways. At parts of the Bible, it talks how a shepherd goes after a lost sheep. It talks about how the shepherd has all his sheep there and one strays off. And it talks about how that shepherd, because he loves that one sheep, just like he does the other 99, he goes after that one sheep. And it gives us that picture of a shepherd looking for a lost sheep. It also gives us a picture several places in the Old and New Testament of a man pursuing a woman. That one sinks in a little closer, doesn't it? We can identify with that one a little bit more, men. You better be pursuing her. Oh, and the ladies, there was your place to be amen. Let me say that again. Let me help you out. Let me prepare you for it. It's coming again. Guys, you should pursue her. Amen. That's right. You say, well, she don't pursue me. She's not commanded to. It says, husbands, love your wives. Christ loved the church. And you know what He did? He pursued her. He pursued this church. The Bible describes it like a man pursuing the woman he loves. It also describes how like a loving father is searching for that orphan child. We talked about that a couple of years ago. How Paul talked about that we, through the Holy Spirit, we've been given the spirit of adoption. We were that orphan child that God, as a loving father, was searching for. And I want to tell you this morning, if you feel abandoned, if you feel lonely, if you feel unloved, know this morning, God is actively pursuing you. He is. Verse 2, let me read verse 2 again, but let me read this in the Message. Listen, just listen to this. Message is just a paraphrase of this verse. It says, remember how you were when you didn't know God, led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everyone else did it. Paul said, God was pursuing you. At one time, you were apart from God, and God is pursuing you. Let me tell you also what the Holy Spirit is doing for you. Not only is He actively pursuing you, He's sending people into your path to get your attention. Let me show you what I mean.
I don't really believe that God sets out to punish us, but I do believe that He gave us free will to make our decisions, and we have to face the consequences of our decisions. About 2 years ago, I made some really bad decisions, and the consequences has affected me greatly. It's weighed very heavy on my soul and my heart, and the weight has caused a lot of depression, a lot of struggle in my life. The depression has caused a lot of physical symptoms. I went to all the doctors. I've had all the CT scans, the ultrasounds. Everything comes back normal. And so I finally broke down and went to see a psychiatrist. And they decided that I was just suffering from depression. So they put me on all these medications. I've been on all the antidepressants, anti-anxiety medications. And I just still am just not feeling any better. I just don't feel like my life's going anywhere. The emptiness is just so overwhelming sometimes. It's just hard to face the day. It finally got to the point where I would have to take off work. I missed a lot of work. Cut off from a lot of my family and friends. Just couldn't hardly take care of my son. And a lot of people in my life started noticing, you know, the changes in me. And, you know, I had a friend at work that kept inviting me to church. She kept telling me that that's what I needed was God in my life to make me feel better. And I have another friend at work who's a preacher. And he, you know, had been talking to me about God and trying to get me to, you know, see things from a different perspective. And, so I decided, you know, I've tried everything else. Why not try to go to church? Why not try God out to see how that works? And I went to a church that a customer of mine had invited me to. And the sermon was about scriptural somersaults. And he was talking about how you take what the Bible says and you twist the words around to make it fit your purpose. Yeah. And I realized that day that that's what I've been doing my whole life. You know, not just the last 2 years, but the whole life I have just been trying to fill this void with something, but I've been looking in the wrong places. So one day, you know, I've been coming around, I've been thinking about, you know, bringing God into my life and seeing how that can make a change. Mm-hmm. And a customer of mine came in, and he had been inviting me to church. He'd been talking to me about God, and he just came out and asked me if I had ever sinned. And, of course, yeah, I've sinned. And he asked me if I wanted God to forgive me. And, you know, things in a moment happen really fast, but, you know, to put it in perspective in my mind, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I'm at work. I'm on the carpet aisle, I have my red vest on, and this guy's wanting to talk to me about God forgiving me. And, you know, I very easily could have just brushed it off, but I decided, you know, that sounds good. I need some forgiveness. That's what I need. I need God to forgive me, to take some of this weight off my heart. And so that very moment, I said, yes, I do want God to forgive me. And we prayed together over the carpet. And that's the very moment that my life changed. That made all the difference in the world. And if I would have known all this time, it was so simple. All I had to do was open myself up to it. You know, it's always been there. All these people have been inviting me to church, talking to me about God, and all I had to do was just open my heart up to it. And I did that day. And it made everything different. You know, the way I see life, the way I feel about things, the weight in my heart is gone. I still struggle every day. I still struggle with depression. I'm still a single mother. I still struggle with bills. But I know that there's a purpose for me. And I have so much comfort in that. Just knowing that God loves me unconditionally. It doesn't matter what I've done. Yeah. That just really, it helps me get through every day. Yeah. And the very next Sunday, after my customer prayed with me over carpet, I went to church, and Bodie was asking, you know, anybody wants to dedicate their life, come down front. And so I did. And the very next Sunday, I was baptized. And, you know, I've since then, I've noticed all the blessings in my life. The people that have helped me and have been there for me, you know, that customer didn't have to care about whether or not my soul was saved, but he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish that everybody would just take a moment to stop and think about where your life could be and what you could say to somebody to help them. And, you know, just to open up a listening ear sometimes could really make a difference in somebody's life. And he didn't have to stop and pray with me, but he did. And that really, it changed my life.
Amen, amen, wow. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's sending people in your life to get your attention. He's also revealing to you just how much He loves you. He is actively at work, sending people into your life, getting your attention. He's trying to reveal to you just how much He loves you this morning. I want you to know also what the Holy Spirit is doing for you, as He is actively, not only actively pursuing you, not only is He sending people into your path, not only is He revealing to you just how much He loves you, but He is also, be assured of this, He is in the business of bringing you into His family. I love what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. He said, consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. Man, I'm so grateful. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing for you. Let me wrap this up next few minutes. I want to talk to you about what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. If you want to know what God's doing in the world, He's actively pursuing lost mankind. If you want to know what God is doing in you, if you love Him, if you've accepted Him, His Holy Spirit lives in you, let me tell you what God is actively doing in your life. Verse 4, he says, Paul says, look, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Paul said, look, God is actively at work in His people. That's what he was trying to say. God does a lot of different things with different people, but it's the one same Holy Spirit that is working in you to bring about something. Number one, He's revealing the truth of God's Word to you. He is. He's revealing, actively revealing the truth of God's Word to you. In the context of a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in us. As a result, the Holy Spirit will consistently reveal the Bible's truth to us as we read it. Think about that for just a moment. Okay, the Holy Spirit is one that inspired the Word of God. That's what it tells us in Timothy's, in Paul's letter to Timothy. That all Scripture is given by God, and it talks about why. It's talked about it's all God-breathed. So if God was the author of it, if the Holy Spirit was the author, and then the Holy Spirit lives in us through the person of Jesus when we're saved, then when I open the Bible, that means that the author is inside me, leading me when I read it. Now, I don't know what you like to read. I don't know if you have a favorite book. But can you imagine having the author of your favorite book sit down with you, right beside you as you read it, and say, this is what I meant by that. This is what I'm saying there. This is what I want you to understand there. I've heard a lot of people say, man, I've tried to read the Bible, and here's the deal. I just couldn't understand it. Well, let me tell you something. Let me give you two things to help you out with that. Number one, it's imperative that the Spirit of God lives in you for you to understand it. In other words, you have to have a relationship with Him first. This word is spiritually discerned. Now, there's some very practical things in this Bible that you can understand. Anybody can understand. But if you want it to continually speak to you, then guess what? You have to have a relationship with it. And through that relationship, the Holy Spirit living in you as you read it is going to actively reveal it to you. The second thing that I would encourage you with as you read the Bible is this. Read it consistently and don't spend so much time on the things you don't understand yet. If you will start putting into practice the things you do understand, before long the things you don't understand will start making more sense. It will. It will. As you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit in you is revealing the Word of God, the plan of God for your life, how He is at work, who you are in Christ, what His desire for our lives is, what He's actively doing in and around us, how He's worked in the past so we can expect how He will work in the future. And the author is right there with us, revealing that to us so that we can understand. Jesus said this when He was talking about the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel, chapter 14. He said, But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, get this, listen to what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He said, He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I said to you. How about that? That means as you read the Bible, that the Holy Spirit, if you know Jesus, the Holy Spirit in you is revealing that Word to you and opening your eyes to it. Man, that's encouraging to have the author right there with you. Not only is He revealing the truth of God's Word to you, but the Holy Spirit in you is making you more like Jesus. He is. Do you know what happens when my children grow up with me and my wife? Pretty sooner or later, despite our best efforts, they start acting like us. You know what I'm talking about. You're either like one of your parents, personality-wise, or your children are like you. You know the old saying, you know, don't do as I do as I say do. Don't work that way, does it? But despite our best efforts, as our children grow up, they start acting like us. And what Paul is telling him, he said, look, through spiritual gifts, through the Holy Spirit, working in different kinds of ways, different kinds of service, different kinds of working, but it's the same God who works all of them in all men. In other words, it's the same Holy Spirit that's actively working in your life, making you more like Jesus. He's growing you up. He is. He's maturing you. He's making you more and more like Jesus every day. What else is the Holy Spirit doing in you? He's equipping you to make an eternal impact. He is. He is actively at work in your life, equipping you to make an eternal difference in the world in which you live in. Let me tell you something. The world may never know your name, but that does not discount the fact that the Holy Spirit can use you to make an eternal impact on this place. They don't have to know your name. History may not know your name. Eternity may be absolutely abundant with the things that God's used you to do. That's what the Holy Spirit's doing in you. He's equipping you to make an eternal impact. Third thing, what the Holy Spirit is doing through you. And I'll just wrap it up with this. I want you to listen to, beginning in verse 7, he just says this statement. I like what he says here. What Paul says is, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now immediately after this, he goes in and talks about different kinds of spiritual gifts. Now when you read this passage, this is not a comprehensive passage on spiritual gifts. Because Paul also talks about in Romans, so he lists some other spiritual gifts that are not all in here. Then also in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about some other spiritual gifts. But what Paul is trying to get across is this. He said you have these different kinds of gifts that the Spirit gives you as He's working in your life, but they're for one common good. He said it is for one purpose. It's what God is doing through you. And what God is doing through you, what the Holy Spirit is trying to do through you, is to glorify Jesus in your life. In John's Gospel in chapter 16, when Jesus, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. He says this about the Holy Spirit. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Do you know what he was saying? He said, look, the Holy Spirit in you is all about glorifying Jesus. It's all about using your life to glorify Jesus. When you look in the mirror in the morning time, you may see the person you think you are, but here's the deal. It's not who you think you are. It's not who the world says you are. It's who Jesus says you are. It's who God says that you are is what matters. And what God says about you, the Holy Spirit is saying to you is, look, I want to bring glory to Jesus through your life. And you say, man, that's a huge weight. That's what he's doing. The Holy Spirit is in the business of glorifying Jesus through your life as he reveals more and more about Jesus to you. He's also gifting you to serve through his church. Do you know that? As I mentioned, he starts listing some spiritual gifts. You know what those are all for? It's for you to serve in the context of God's church. The Holy Spirit has given you a gift. Let me say this. If you've accepted Christ, if there's been that time in your life where you repented of your sins, you put all of your faith in Jesus Christ, He is your Lord, you're serving Him. The Holy Spirit lives in you without question, without a doubt. Because the Bible says that he that hath not the Spirit, he is none of His. He does not have the Spirit, not God's. But here's the deal. When the Holy Spirit took up residence in your life, He gifted you. He did. You already have some natural abilities. You already have some natural talents. But the Holy Spirit living in you has uniquely gifted you to serve in the context of His local church. We have, I don't know where we got it. I know where we got it historically. But I don't know why we can't escape this knowledge or this thing that we've convinced ourselves of, that it's a few select people that are called to ministry full-time vocationally, that those are the select few that God is gifted to use. There's a problem with that. It's not biblical. We are all, if we know Jesus, we are all priests. We are all called to be ministers. You may be in the context of your home, in the context of your workplace. Let me tell you something. If you know Jesus, you're a pastor in that workplace where you work. If you know Jesus, you're a minister in the home in which you live in. You don't leave it to a few select people that we have called pastors. Because here's the deal, is that when Paul talks about spiritual gifts, they have all kinds of spiritual gifts. And the thing is all of these gifts don't exist in one person. As a matter of fact, probably and likely only one or two exist in each of us. And the idea is that God has gifted you to serve through His church. That means you have a place to serve Him. You have a place to serve and to make a difference. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing through you. He is actively at work in your life to minister to the people around you. You say, I don't know what that means. How to work that out? Let me tell you something. The spiritual gift that you've been given by God has shaped you perfectly for ministry. Let me give you five things real quick. You can write these down if you want. Let me give you five things real quickly, and I'm going to wrap this up, I promise, that God uses in your life to uniquely gift you for ministry. Pastor Doug's probably smiling at this moment because he knows what I'm about to say, I'm sure. Use an acrostic, shape, S-H-A-P-E. S, spiritual gifts. That's the unique gift that you have through the person of the Holy Spirit living in you. Your spiritual gift is part of that. H, your heartbeat. You say, what are you talking about? What you're passionate about? You know those things that come up and you just, man, instantly, you just kind of get fired up. And it's not Justin Bieber. I know you're a believer. But it's your heartbeat. It's what you're passionate about. God uses that. He's the one that's making you passionate. A, your abilities. Those are your natural abilities and talents that you have, that you were born with. The makeup and the DNA of you, you have natural abilities and talents. Man, there is a room full of gifted people right here. Every single person in this room has got some kind of natural talent, ability. P is your personality. It's your personality. You got a unique personality. Now, like all of us, especially me, there's some things about our personality that God still needs to trim away. But your personality is unique to you. Lastly, your experiences. When you think about the combined experiences of everyone in this room, there's a tremendous wealth of experience. You've been through some things in your life. You know what? God uses every one of those experiences you've had, positive experiences or negative experiences. He uses that to uniquely shape you for ministry. God has shaped every single person in this room for ministry. There's no reason that you can't make it in the difference. No reason. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, what your background is, what your education level, what your financial state. It does not matter. Those are all irrelevant to how God has shaped you to serve Him. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing through you, to use you to minister to those around you, reaching others through your life. Paul, about halfway through this, when he gets through talking about spiritual gifts in verse 11, he makes this statement. He said, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. He's listed all these spiritual gifts in verses 8 through 10. And then he talks about this. He said, all these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Paul also told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, he said that the Holy Spirit has gifted different people, especially pastors and the teachers and things like that. He said to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Do you understand this morning that you have been uniquely, that I'm going to tell you what God is doing through you. What God is doing for you is He's constantly pursuing. What God is doing in you is He's making you more like Jesus. What God is doing through you is He is actively at work, equipping you, preparing you, gifting you to serve Him, to serve His church. That's what He's doing. Let me show you what I'm talking about.
So tell me how you ended up at Genesis.
Well, I had been dealing with a lot of depression, and I just got to the point where I hit rock bottom mentally, physically, emotionally. And I had a friend of mine, Sandra, who just kept telling me that I needed to come to church. She just felt like that would help me. And I had tried everything else. So I decided to take her up on her offer, and I went to church. And I really felt at home at Genesis. Everybody was so nice. I just felt like I really needed a place to belong. And after I had got with that customer at work who had prayed with me, you know, in the back carpet aisle, and I was saved that day, I really felt the need to be in church. I just wanted to learn more about God, and I wanted to find out more what He could do for me and my life. And so I haven't missed a Sunday since. I've made sure to work my work schedule around so I can be at church. It has helped me so much with my depression. I've gotten off all of my medications. I haven't been on any medications in about 3 weeks now, and it just makes it so much easier to get up and face my day. You know, I just feel like I have something to look forward to. And you know, knowing that God has a purpose for me, whatever that may be, I have comfort in that. And I can wake up in the morning and I can go to work and feel good about myself and about my day. And it's just really made a huge difference in my life. And, you know, the day I got baptized, I invited a lot of my family and friends just because I wanted them to share that with me. And my mom and my sister and several close friends of mine have started going to church every day since then. And it just makes me feel good to know that I have been able to bring them to God. One thing that I'm so proud of is my son. He's 6 years old, and he talks about God on a regular basis. And he actually turned his movie off the other day and brought my Bible to me and asked me to read the Bible with him. And, you know, I'm 34 years old, and I just now have developed that relationship with God, and he already has one at 6. And it just makes me feel so good to know that his life is going to be so much better than mine was. He's not going to struggle with things like I did because he has that relationship already. And he's not going to have that void in his life that I've always had. And that's probably the best thing that I feel like has come out of my coming to Genesis and getting saved and starting my life.
To ask you to bow your heads. I just want you to think about over the last few weeks what God's been doing in your life. He's pursuing you. It's because He loves you. Let that sink in. He loves you. I don't feel very lovable. God loves you anyway. He loves you enough that He sent His own Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for you and I. To take the punishment of my sin and your sin. God dumped all of the things we've done on His Son on that cross that day they crucified Him. That's how much He loves you. He's pursuing you. He's been sending people into your life to get your attention. He wants you to know how much He loves you. And He wants to bring you into His family. He's not trying to get you into a denomination. He's not trying to get you into some religious group or organization. God is actively pursuing you to bring you into a relationship with Him and into His family. He wants to adopt you. And right now, I just want to invite you right where you sit. You think about what God has been doing for you. Perhaps it's to get you here this morning and to have you trust Him your life for the first time. And I would invite you right now, maybe you just need to pray and surrender your life to Him this morning. You might just very simply pray a very quiet prayer in your heart to God. Just speak to God. You're not talking to men. You're talking to the God that loves you and is pursuing you. Just pray and say, "Oh God, I know that You love me. I know that You have pursued me. I know that I've sinned against You. I've been doing my own thing, going my own way. But today, oh God, I ask You to forgive me. I ask You to come into my life and to change me. God, give me a new beginning this morning. God, the best way I know how, I give my life to You. Thank You for hearing my prayer this morning. Thank You for saving me today." If your head's bowed and your eyes closed, I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out, do anything to embarrass you. But I would just ask you this morning, did you pray a prayer like that of surrender? Did you pray and ask Jesus Christ into your life this morning? Maybe for the first time you would say, "Bodie, that's me this morning." Just raise your hand up. Say, "Bodie, that's me this morning. For the very first time I surrendered my life to Christ this morning." Just raise your hand. You say, "Bodie, I know that I know Him. There's been that time in my life where I've said yes to Jesus, but I've been walking at a guilty distance. I've been living my life as if God was not important. I've been living my life as if God was nowhere around. And it's time for me to come home. It's time for me to once again commit my life to Him." And maybe this morning you just need to recommit your life to Him. Just very simple. Just a prayer of repentance. Repentance is a big word, but it just simply means to change directions. It means I was going down the wrong way, I turned around and went back the right way. God's calling you this morning to recommit your life to Him. To say, "It's time to follow me again with your life." Those other things, they've been leaving you empty, alone, depressed. It's time to start following me with your life. Maybe this morning you just need to pray and just say, "Oh God, forgive me. I'm coming home. I'm coming back to You. I want to follow You with my life again. I want to pursue You once again in my life and make You the very focus of my life." Just pray and ask Him. Just pray. Tell Him. There are others of you here this morning. Maybe you've been busy a little while. You say, "You know what? I need to plant somewhere. I need to start using the gifts, the abilities, the passions that I have, the experiences, my personality. Let God use all those things to start serving Him in His church." Maybe you just need to plant yourself here, plant your family here. Start getting involved in what God is doing through this local body. Some great churches in this area. All around us, there's some fantastic churches. I know many of the pastors personally. But it's time to stop bouncing around. It's time to settle in. Start serving God. Allow Him to use you in an incredible way to make a difference. It's amazing that you saw in that testimony video how God used someone to invite someone. That person got saved. Started inviting someone else. Someone else got saved. God was actively at work in all of that. Maybe this morning you just need to come and say, you know what? I need to get involved. I need to get plugged in. I need to start serving God. Man, what a wonderful day this would be for that. Father, I just pray right now this invitation would be your invitation. I pray that you would call men, women, young people, boys, girls, into a personal relationship with yourself, first and foremost, God, more important than anything in the world. But beyond that, God, I pray that you would call men and women to repent and come back home, come back to you and start serving you with their life again. God, I pray for others that you may be calling to come alongside as partners here at Genesis to say, this is where we want to serve. But God, I understand that it's your Holy Spirit that's at work this morning. Lord, call those that you've calling this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, would you stand with me? I want to ask Christian, Nita, just to lead us, maybe in this first couple of verses. If you need to give your life to Him this morning, man, I want you to step out. I'm going to walk up here. I'm going to stand on that platform. You step out at the same time. I'm just going to meet you on that platform. We got a couple people here that are ready to pray with you, encourage you, give you a high five. You gave your life to Jesus this morning. Man, I just want to celebrate that decision with you. You recommitted your life to Him this morning. You were one of those who said, you know what, it's time for me to come home. I just want you to meet me right over there this morning. You just want somebody to pray with you? You need somebody to pray with you? Man, you just step out. Come. We'd be glad to be honored just to pray with you and encourage you and stand in the gap with you this morning before God. You come right now.
You have come to save us. You have come to save us.